Here on this fifth Sunday in Lent, we are only a week away from the start of Holy Week, and we hear Jesus speaking today of his death. Isn't this just the sort of gloomy talk that makes you think, why am I coming to church during Lent at all? Come on. All this talk of sin and death, why go there, some will ask. We are an Easter people, are we not? Yet there is a method to this way of structuring the church year. There is a purpose to Lent that is about much more than personal growth. Now, it's true that a good use of some of our time in Lent involves doing some self-examination, repenting of what we ought not to have done or left undone, and promising to do better, knowing, of course, that it is by God's grace that change and growth is possible. But the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the Christ, was and is about much more than your life or my life. Yes, certainly our individual lives matter greatly to God, but so do the systems in which we live and the realm of life to which God invites us, what we call the reign of God or the kingdom of God, that we can know now in part even during our lives on earth. Jesus is teaching his friends, his disciples, that he must die so that he can draw all people to himself. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The grain seems to have died, but of course it is not death, but transformation. One definition of this process of growth: when seeds are planted, they first grow roots. Once these roots take hold, a small plant will begin to emerge and eventually break through the soil. When this happens, we say that the seed has sprouted, the scientific name of this process being germination. We can call it transformation for our purposes. What a great metaphor for God's gift to us in Jesus, and for our lives, how we are transformed in following in the way of Christ. We are planted in this soil of the Christian story, the Christian tradition, our faith, and our roots start to grow. Imagine your roots growing deep in the rich soil provided by God, which is your life with God. The fertilizer is all that comes your way that is of God. In your daily life, in your participating in the church, sacraments, prayer, personal and corporate, and all of this has been made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. All of this has been made possible because of the kind of death Jesus died, one that would enable him to draw all people to himself, a death brought about by the violence of others and to which he did not respond with violence. On Good Friday, we remember. We set that day aside and observe it to thank God and to give God our love and devotion for dying for us, not because of us in the sense of individual substitutionary atonement, but for us, to free us from the systems of this world and to give us eternal life. Real life, now and forever. I'm going into this a bit right now, well, because the scripture invites it, but also because many of you won't be able to be here on Good Friday, and some maybe could be but won't, right? Except maybe now that you're hearing this sermon, you'll give it a try. It's tough, right? It's hard. And we wonder, can we be there with it? And what does it really mean? And is it going to be a guilt trip? It's not. Because this whole idea, and I don't think I can really preach about this enough, is that Christ died for us, for you. We say this every time in the Eucharistic prayer, that Christ's blood was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, for you, for me, for all, because the world is broken. Now, not creation, but the world we've chosen to create, the systems of the world. Sometimes this has to do with our individual choices for which we do repent and are forgiven. But again, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection freed all people and made it possible for systems to be transformed by God's love. As Charles Campbell writes in his commentary on this text, John's gospel, John's large and dramatic understanding of the work of the cross may be new to many. John is not concerned with the forgiveness of individual sins, nor does he proclaim a form of substitutionary atonement through which Jesus takes on divine punishment that human beings deserve in order to relieve us of our condemnation and guilt. That's what substitutionary atonement means, that Jesus substitutes for us and takes the punishment that we are due. This has long been the theology, but often now we have a different way of understanding it, thank goodness. Because that, again, that just leads to all this needless guilt and confusion, and generally I've found is not helpful and keeps people away from church. We hear from Campbell, rather in John 12:20-33 that we read today, Jesus' crucifixion judges, quote, the world, and drives out, quote, the ruler of the world. Campbell invites us to consider what the primary aspects of the system are that hold us captive and take us down the path of death rather than life. He names three: consumerism, where we're tempted to acquire more and more and seek life only through this acquiring of things, and then we find it's never enough. As well, people around the world suffer to produce for us, and in some cases die to produce for us. Domination, a system of winners and losers that encourages people to think of each other as being different, as being the other. Every sort of ism comes from this, right? Like racism. The third, violence. And Campbell quotes Walter Wink here, suggesting that the myth of redemptive violence is the primary myth of this system that we've created. Not what God wants, but what we've created. That the way to bring order out of chaos is through violently defeating the other. So consumerism, domination, violence. There are other ways of understanding the system in which we live, but certainly those are true. And that violence, this way to deal with threats from enemies by violently eliminating them, this is exactly what the system seeks to do with Jesus. And did. Because Jesus refuses to respond with violence and is clear with Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world, or we could say this system, Jesus shows that he is free from this myth that violence is the answer. He is free from this system. Violence and death would not, could not, have the last word. We hear from the scripture, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The kind of death he was to die was the kind to change everything for us, to offer us true freedom and life, freedom and life in following our risen nonviolent Lord. And we're told those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. So we are invited to share the risen life of Christ now. We are urged by God to see what aspects of our life are part of the systems that we know hurt and exploit others and often ourselves, and to lose that part of our lives now, so that as we continue in our earthly life, we can grow more and more into the people God has created us to be for eternity. Imagine that you are that seed, that grain. You have been planted in the rich soil of God's love. Imagine your roots growing deeper and deeper into the grace of God that gives you life. Imagine the plant that grows from this rich soil with deep roots. Imagine God's joy in you. Amen.